Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
They can't detain us because wings are made to fly, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and we've got Jim Campbell here.
Hello.
Luke Moore.
All right.
And everyone's favourite, Pete Donaldson.
I'm back again, hello.
Yes.
I don't actually agree with that.
No?
Well, yeah, carry on.
Okay. I'm talking on behalf of the people, not the elite.
The housewives. The
1%. That's right, housewives.
The silent majority.
Mm. Now, fans across the country reportedly booed the water breaks taken on the weekend due to the 30 degrees hot weather.
Stop there. What are they doing?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The fact that this happened everywhere is astounding.
I saw Neil McCann on Sky Sports earlier, essentially really running with this one.
Yeah.
He was talking about all sorts of like tactical conspiracy. Well, the thing is, if you're under the cosh and you're on the rack and all these other type of cliches, and all of a sudden it's the water break, you can change your formation around stuff. It's like,
you could say that about half time though, couldn't you?
You could say that about a throw in.
Neil, just calm down. People are hot, they're hot and bothered, they're tired, they're sweaty, they want a drink. Let them have a drink.
Yeah. How long did it take How long did it take for this water break to happen? Because I think I missed it in the Manchester United-Newcastle match. Maybe they didn't have one.
I don't know if they had one. They definitely
that
had
was
one.
Earlier in the day,
yeah.
Right. Before the sun had really got its teeth into the British Isles.
It's sunny teeth.
Yeah.
It's flaming
it's
teeth.
Baby from the Teletubbies teeth. Yeah.
What the real question should be, although I know it isn't, is why does Neil McCann hate water so much?
Oi, Neil McCann't?
Yeah, why is Neil McCann talking on Premier League issues? He normally does Scotland.
Well, mostly water himself.
So yeah. It's true, we all
he's less... He's less than most people.
I think what's happened is Neil McCann's realised that the Gorgies have sewn the league up. He thought there's nothing of interest up here. Yeah. I'm coming down south.
Well, I'm
of
glad
the
he mentioned that because he was a fine winger. He was.
I was worried that we wouldn't get a Gorgie boys mentioned in this week, so I thought I'd get it in there.
Don't you worry. Many fans moaned about the water breaks, as just previously discussed, because they probably think it's unnecessary and an interruption and a load of old nonsense. Well, if you could introduce an unnecessary rule into football, Jim, an unnecessary practice, what would it be?
I like this question. What I would have would be...
So
that,
well done.
Thank you.
It's the sort of thing a politician says before he just filibusters for the next
let me tell you
half
what.
An hour.
Marcus, if you're asking me...
well, what I would have is that the captain of the losing team should have to do a traffic update over the PA system at the end of the match.
Nice.
Just because technically it's utterly pointless, but could you imagine, like, you're 1-0 down, you're under the cosh, 5 minutes to go, the captain starts thinking, oh, this is going to be really embarrassing. I hate this. Why do they make us do this? I hate this so much. It's just going to give them that little extra bit of verve, isn't it? A little bit of a vim that you might need to, you know, get a goal back, or maybe even get two back, so you don't have to do that bloody stupid traffic update announcement after the game.
And it would put more pressure on the captain. You would actually need to think about your captain. Your appointment.
You'd have to play for him.
Is he a good orator? You know, is he?
That's right. Can he even speak English? You know, there's a lot of things there.
Exactly.
A lot of things there. Who's the captain of Newcastle, Pete?
Fabrizio Colaccini.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good to have Colaccini?
Got pretty good English, I think, hasn't he?
No, it'd just be great to have him on there. Mm. That beautiful accent. Luke.
This has put me in mind of a great thing that happened with a man you don't hear enough about these days, for my money, Mr. David O'Leary. I've talked about this a few years ago on the show. You'd have to be a very long-term listener to remember this, of which I think we've got none, so I should be fine. Sky Sports did a similar feature this a while back, where they said, that's two mentions for Sky Sports now already.
Well, wow. You
racking them up.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
What is David O'Leary doing with himself now?
I don't know.
Because he finished Al Ahly in 2011.
You've gone off piece with that question. I've not researched it, so I don't know.
Well, no, I'm just saying,
if you're asking me what's happening to David O'Leary. Yeah.
Well, if people
Marcus.
Know, get in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Luke, carry on.
I was going to say that Sky Sports did this, and they asked the current Premier League managers at the time, I can't remember who O'Leary was managing at the time, but it was someone, obviously, what they would do to slightly change Premier League rules to make the game flow a bit better and this other stuff. And loads of managers answered perfectly sensible answers with things like, oh, you know, I would stop time wasting, you know, I would, you know, I'd stop back chat to referees and all this other stuff. And David O'Leary, just for no reason, said, I'd like the goalkeepers to not be able to come out of the area.
Yes.
I mean, truly bizarre.
Straight out of nowhere.
Often, yeah. How often has that been an issue for him?
No.
That he's that incensed about it.
I think he's either weird, or he's been caught on the hop. He doesn't know what to say. He just said the first thing that came into his head. Either of which is true.
Both.
It's a subjective kind of RKO, really. Yeah. Where'd that come from?
No, but I'm going to go for that.
Yeah, do you think he's raging when he sees a goalkeeper come up for a corner at the end of a match?
I can't stand it.
That's one of the greatest sights in football.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
Jimmy Glass famously scored that the best goal ever. That couldn't have happened under O'Leary's, you know, barbaric rule.
Yeah, what sort of twisted totalitarian regime does David O'Leary want to live in?
He hates chips. Maybe he was chipped back in the day. Notably chipped.
To answer your question, Luke, he used to manage in the United Arab Emirates.
That's true. That's very true.
he hasn't been. He's been without a club, as far as I'm aware, since about 2011.
Okay.
So, yeah, let us know what O'Leary. If you've seen O'Leary.
Has he got something to offer the game?
Oh, surely.
Maybe he's played like in goal in like a charity game and he's just still in the area. sticking to his principles.
He's chained himself to the goalpost, like that Everton fan did.
Yeah.
And no, everyone's just that. It's fine. We've moved ground now.
No one
even
remembers that.
Yeah. Peter.
Two words for you, Marcus. Porno breaks.
Porno breaks. Why did I think of that?
I just think if someone's on a yellow...
On the big screen?
Someone's on a yellow. Well, good luck. Someone's
it's
on a yellow.
It's a family game.
Someone's on a yellow and they're flying around. They're flying into tackles. They're going to get sent off. Instead of waiting for half-time to bring them off, so to speak, let them bring themselves off. in a potter potty or something.
Oh my God.
Just to, you know, calm it all down.
Calm it all down.
Give him a copy of Razzle or Playgirl.
I'm not laughing because I know what the next week's Twitter content's going to be made up of. Thank you very much.
You've got to sift through the sewage.
Just imagine the Photoshops.
Yeah.
Paul Jewell, yeah. He's got to be mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be one of the favourites.
Yeah. Might even star in some of it.
Well, yeah.
Is it excellent, though?
Yeah.
Marcus?
No, but excellent, it's over.
Yeah. Fine.
I'd like to make the home team shake the hands of the front row of the away support. You know, like,
building
both
bridges.
Teams.
I can't possibly see how this is going to go wrong.
No.
And the game doesn't start until it happens without a fuss.
Without a fuss?
Without a fuss.
You're doing it again. Wow. You're doing it again.
Yeah, come right. on. Stop spitting.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I would argue the worst people don't stand at the front.
Get them down the front then.
Yeah. Well, the away support
can choose who they like goes down the front for that bit. But if it doesn't happen without a fuss, then kickoff is delayed.
The men with the strongest hands.
All that.
Mm.
Put a little buzzer in there.
Yeah. Ah, tomato sauce everywhere.
Mm. Didn't they kill President Palmer in 24 like that?
I've never seen 24.
Spoilers. No, I think he was supposed to have died, and then he didn't die, so it's fine.
Another spoiler.
But then he died again, Luke. And then he rose from the dead.
Oh, that's naughty.
Well, what year did this come out? Because listen,
boop.
What year did this come out? This TV show.
99 or so.
That's
ago.
That's
years ago.
I've never watched it.
Yeah.
Don't have to now.
Don't have to.
Apparently, they all die, and then they all come back to life.
Yeah.
In one glorious climax.
Speaking
like
of
your porno break.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, what was your one again?
It was the traffic.
Yeah, I like that. Jim's got the points.
It's quite tame, though, isn't it?
Pathetic.
Tiddly, yes.
Yeah, but
dreadful.
Pete talked himself out of the points.
Yeah. So we're level on points, aren't we?
Are we?
We're all level on points now.
That's true. It's all square.
You didn't have any.
It's all square.
Now we've got some.
No. Well, Bournemouth didn't have any. And now they do.
Yeah.
No. Oh, what a win. Marvellous stuff.
Can I be the first to say, because everyone's going to want to hear me say this, you're welcome, Callum Wilson.
Well, do you know what? No, you're absolutely right. Last week I said that Bournemouth looked all right at the back of midfield and wasn't sure if Wilson would score many this season. And he popped in a hat-trick. Became the fifth player in Premier League history to bag a hat-trick for a newly promoted club.
Ooh. I am in danger of being churlish here, and I don't wish to take anything away from Callum Wilson. He's made me look silly, fair enough, as players do regularly.
He's made me look silly.
You also said you were worried about West Ham. So,
I did.
You know, so they started well, and everyone was like,
That worry will continue, Jim.
Look at you, Luke.
And that's the only point I wanted to make. No, I was going to say that, is it fair? Can I possibly get this across without sounding bitter? I don't mean to sound bitter.
No,
is it just because
of who you are.
I'll try it anyway. Is it fair to say that he benefited from some quite horrendous defending?
Oh, absolutely.
That was some of the loosest play, I think, yeah. I think Upton Park seen in 5 years, maybe.
Yeah,
didn't get under Big Sam. Good Lord.
I don't think you'd be going to enough West Ham games.
You know,
he took a Bonner off after like 30 minutes or something like that. That's not going to help your stability, is it?
Carl Jenkinson sending off was the fifth red card of Bilic's reign at West Ham.
Great, that, isn't it?
That's astounding.
That's superb. But that would include... That's not just Premier League.
That includes Europa, yeah.
But
still,
it's August.
Yeah,
West Ham won the Fair Play Award the year before.
They did.
They definitely want to get in the Europa League this year.
Big Sam on Match of the Day. Delish.
He couldn't believe his luck, could he? Picked the right week.
The two highlights were when he oversaw the West Ham game and Jenkinson and Cresswell, who was possibly the standout fullback last season. Cresswell and Jenkinson making those errors. And Big Sam, they cut to Big Sam and he just goes, "They didn't make those errors when I was there."
He said that, didn't he? That's great, you've got to give him that.
Living well is the greatest revenge of all, I guess, isn't it?
He should have had some sunglasses.
Oh, you've got to hand it to Big Sam there.
I'm always happy to hand it to Big Sam. Always. Porno break or not.
But the fullbacks didn't have any protection. It was just, I don't know what was happening in that match. I watched most of it as well.
I'll tell you something. West Ham,
I switched off after a while.
Well,
the fullbacks did.
The first 20 minutes, Bournemouth looked fantastic. But something you said just a moment ago about Wilson, the first goal he took superbly well.
Oh, very well. As a great
He finished well for the second, but the first one was different class. Mm. And Bournemouth looked like blooming world beaters in the first 20 minutes. I mean, West Ham let them, I suppose.
They can't. I don't want to burst Bournemouth's bubble, to use alliteration, but they can't rely on being able to score four goals to win a game, though.
No.
I mean, I know it was away from home and all that sort of stuff, but they did concede three against a largely woeful West Ham side. Mm. It's not all rainbows and unicorns for them, even though they've got their first win. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Well, but you've got to get that first win where you can, though.
Definitely.
Definitely. So, I mean, that's
big for them.
I should say, the people who are wondering who the four other Premier League players to get a hat-trick for a newly promoted club, Kevin Phillips, Marcus Stewart, Robert Earnshaw, and someone, is it Choi? Toy? For West Brom.
The Choi Toy.
Yeah. Well, when he was wasn't it like Choi Story 3 or something that the headline was?
Oh, okay, right. Like that. Yeah, I don't remember that one, but I remember the others, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Good fact.
It wasn't a bad fact from the BBC there. The Hammers, they've lost home games to Leicester and Bournemouth already this season.
And they've got big injury problems in that as well. That's going to be the problem. They've got, you know, players like Andy Carroll, where you cannot rely on him being fit, effectively. Like,
well, I'm surprised you chose him for the injury problems, because this is the given, really.
No, but absolutely, that's what I mean. Like, if you've got so many players in a squad, and, you know, as an Arsenal fan, obviously you know all about this, that you can't rely on in any one given time. It makes it hard to get a proper sort of rhythm going.
Well, they play Kevin Nolan up top, and someone else, I forget. Yeah, and it's just like, you can't, like, how old's Nolan now?
David Gold, I think it was David Gold or David Sullivan, one of the two. I think it was Gold. He's more active on social media, isn't he, Gold?
Is this about Charlie Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Sullivan.
Oh, was it Sullivan? Yeah. Okay, he said that he basically ruled them out of going after Charlie Austin, but not because of the money, but because of saying that he was unreliable in terms of injuries. But I think that's really unfair.
Well, yeah, really weird. Did somebody put his record on? Like, he's played like 30 matches pretty much every season for the last six.
Such a good player.
What a point.
I would even go as far as to say, and I got it wrong about Callum Wilson, of course, but we'll see how many goals Callum Wilson comes up with by the end of the season, of course. I mean, you know, if he gets a hat-trick and that's it, it's obviously not going to be a successful season.
I mean, it's one in one at the moment, isn't
it? Yeah, it's great. It's done well, yeah. So what you're saying, you will put £100 in getting 38 goals a season. I'll happily take that bet. I don't know why, no disrespect to West Ham, who are ruling themselves out of it, I don't know why bigger clubs aren't going in for Charlie Austin.
There must be something there. That's what I think. There must be something wrong with...
Possibly his knee. He did have a knee injury, a serious one, a while back.
Not even... I just think his wage demands are just way too high. Well, but he's pricing himself out of...
£15 million for him, don't they? Which, you know...
He's in his last year, though, isn't he?
He's reasonable.
Isn't he in his last year of contract? Could you not get him a lot cheaper in January and then...
Maybe that's it.
We don't know his contract situation, but I don't think that the money swirling around the Premier League at the moment, look at these players who are being signed. Yeah. You can't tell me in the current market, Charlie Austin, who's got a hatful of goals in the Premier League last season, isn't worth £15 million.
Luke, he likes hanging out with Les Ferdinand, and who wouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, but that just makes him a human, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Just done it normal.
Contract situation aside, if there's something going on with his contract I'm not aware of, then fair enough. But I think in terms of ability and talent, he's worth that money.
Agreed. Maybe it's just, you know, people are playing the waiting game.
Who knows,
it happens every season.
Who knows?
Hopefully
we will know soon. Crystal Palace beating Aston Villa 2-1, eh?
My love of the underdog is really starting to chafe against my Alan Pardew hatred. My rather robust opinions of Pardew.
Two out of three, the Pards in the Premier League this season.
But then I heard Alan Pardew call Lee Chung-Yong Chungy, and then it all came flooding back.
Chungy.
So I'm happy now. He's still a prick, so good.
Yeah.
Well, old Chungy.
Pardew's Palace have scored 16 goals from set pieces since he's been in charge, which is more than any other Premier League side during that time period, of course, of him being in charge. They've really exploited that, haven't they? And Scott Dan, towering header. It was Les Ferdinand the way he hung in the air.
He seems to get a lot of headers from corners.
It was an absolutely fantastic header. It was absolutely
glorious,
superb. Yeah,
glorious stuff.
I was worried
Would you even go as far to say it was a British goal?
It was very much so. Yeah.
But I'm looking at the League Cup, obviously. Is it tomorrow? It's tomorrow and Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, League Cup this week.
Just looking at Alan Pardew, what he's got to choose from at Palace. It's like, God, he's got a much deeper squad than he ever had at Newcastle. I think he's enjoying that. Alan isn't even playing.
Oh, yeah, Alfinger Haaland's there. Not Alfinger Haaland,
Brendan Hangeland.
No surprise that Alfinger Haaland
didn't
play.
Where'd that come from?
The thing is, though, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I'm actually going to Celeste Park tomorrow night, so I'll report back if you like.
Have a look at crystals.
I'm not going to do that.
Assuming that it's open.
Okay, I'll play it by ear.
That'd be like pound a pint. Yeah. Be a student night or something.
I'll tell you what, if I want a quote from Pars, I'm going to have to go in there.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. What about the goal that was chalked off for Palace? MacArthur, was it? When it was given and then... It seemed a bit funny.
From that one angle from behind the goal, I don't think he was offside.
I don't think he was.
Well, okay, but obviously the decision is given that they thought he was offside. But for me, I thought to myself, was it the players protesting that made the referee have
it
a word
like
with
it.
The linesman? Now that sets quite a funny precedent, doesn't it? Because Pardew, you know, in all his humility, said it was an excellent decision. But
he's just a class act, though, isn't he? Probably?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Easy to say that when you've won the game.
Correct. But I did sort of think to myself, actually, if the decision's made, yes, okay, if you go to the referee's assistant and have a word with him, but if it's under player pressure, I think that's a bit of a dangerous one, isn't it?
Well, you know, you do see it occasionally, don't you? But who knows? Only the linesman knows whether he's, I don't know, just been maybe caught napping.
I wondered initially if it was for handball.
The linesman did not flag.
No, exactly. But then the referee went over to the linesman.
For some reason, he's gone over there.
Yeah. What do you reckon it was like in the manager's office afterwards with Pardew and Sherwood?
Just geezer central.
Yeah. I think it was one giving the other a lesson. In all manner of ways.
That's already happened.
Sat with an iPad. Look at this.
But I agree with you.
What you've done wrong.
I don't think it was offside, and I think it was a strange situation the way the decision was come to.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, we've seen this happen before. It's not unprecedented. That has happened before. I've seen goals been chewed. I mean, the most famous decision which was changed around because of outside influence was Zidane in the World Cup final.
Mm.
That was changed around sending outside influence, wasn't it? Because he didn't see it initially, the referee. He went over. And...
Officially, no.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Exactly. It's amazing, isn't it, that technically he shouldn't have been sent off by the letter of the law.
Mm.
Well, yeah, but you're going on credible rumours there.
Indeed.
You know, which you always do.
But I was getting a bit fearful for the Villa, for the Sherwood prediction.
Yeah.
Now they've not only... Mm. The great thing about... I mean, apologies to Aston Villa fans.
They've only lost 2-1 at Palace.
I've got no beef in the Aston Villa fight. No dog in the Aston Villa fight.
Don't bring a cow
to a dog fight.
Yeah. I take a cow with me wherever I go. How many more times?
Can you bring Arfinger Haaland?
He's on the back of the cow.
And he's bred a hangerland.
My beef is with Sherwood, not with Villa.
So it's just personal.
Yeah.
But you've been getting some correspondence?
No.
Okay.
No, because they got beaten. The positives I'm taking in terms of the Sherwood prediction from this result are that it was a crushing last-minute-ish defeat. Well, it was a late goal, wasn't it? And it was actually a mistake by one of their better, younger players.
True. Mm.
So I'm hoping that unconfidence or lack of confidence starts spreading throughout the camp.
Do you think their new man, Adama Traore?
He's quick, isn't he?
Lightning. Can he keep them up with
turbo
him?
Boost, Sherwood said.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
It was a glorious run, though.
It was.
Forcing an equaliser, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough.
Well, thank heavens for him. At least the Villa fans have got something to watch. Jesus Christ.
Very true. More sexy football chat after this.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
After 90 minutes of share hell, I listen to the Football Ramble.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Jolly Barnes.
We'd never leave you. Not at this stage of the show. West Brom, they lost at home to Chelsea. James Morrison had an interesting afternoon.
He certainly did.
Missing a pen at 0-0.
It didn't feel like a win to Chelsea. It didn't feel like that. Felt like they were still really labouring and really struggling.
I was about to say I'm enjoying it. I think it's Mourinho's disposition I'm quite enjoying, because we're really seeing him
well,
put under
cracks appearing.
Yeah, that's right.
And so early as well.
So early in the season. Yeah,
I bet he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because normally Mourinho has the air of a man who knows exactly where he's going to finish in the table, whether that be first or second even, because in the first season back at Chelsea, he said we're a striker off winning the league. Mm. He was absolutely right. Next season, they got the striker, they won the league. But this time round...
He's not in control of the situation, which is strange to see.
He doesn't appear to be, no.
And I think, you know, just on the pitch, of course, Morrison missing that penalty was a real... I think really poor
penalty. Courtois almost saved it by accident.
Yeah, he did.
Just by the virtue of where his body was. Yeah, there was no choice in it.
I think if I'd scored that, I think it could have been a very tough afternoon for Chelsea. Yeah. I think they know they dodged a bit of a bullet there.
Mind you, Pedro.
He was great.
Yeah, superb.
But remember what we were talking briefly about last week, about how Fabregas has seemed really sort of...
sluggish.
Yeah.
Well, and Matic as well.
Well, Matic was uncharacteristic.
And also lucky to not be sent off as well.
He was. And it just goes to show how well the Chelsea team at the back, those rear six outfield players, they're so good as a unit. But when one of them or two of them sort of drop off, it spreads. So you see, Fabregas looks off the pace, right? Matic is making poor decisions. He's all over the place, dropping fouls here, there and everywhere, which you can do if you play in that position, you're not on your game.
Yep.
That's the immediate byproduct of that is you start committing fouls because that's the position you play in. Then all of a sudden, John Terry's not got the two bit of protection in front of him, because John Terry is part of a defensive unit, is one of the best defenders in the world still, but on his own one-on-one he gets exposed.
And he had Zouma next to him, not Cahill,
which I wonder whether... I know Zuma's got the pace to bail him out.
Zuma's good, but he's not got the understanding perhaps yet.
Yeah, I think that comes with time, but I also think that it's a fact that the way Terry was caught out was the fullback was pushing on, the ball over the top was good, and then Terry's in trouble then. Yeah. And it's a testament to how good Chelsea are defensively generally that you hardly ever see Terry caught one-on-one.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you do, that's what happens.
He slips on his bum-bum.
And it's not pretty.
Or knocks someone over.
It's really fascinating, actually, as a real football fan, to see that unit.
Yeah.
And how, when you pull one sort of link out of the chain...
Quite delicately balanced.
It's in trouble.
You're right. And Mourinho is incredible at organising that unit, as you say. And that's why Mata went. That's why Hazard needed to change the way he approached the game, because he needed to fit into that functioning beast that is a Mourinho football team.
Yeah. Mm. Because they play a very... It's a very committed game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I can imagine, for the way Chelsea play, it's easier for those players to tire, or as I would imagine is the case in this scenario, given how early it is in the season, to not quite be up to speed straight away. And then, as you say, you've got that knock-on effect of one cog in the machine.
But there are positives to take from the game for Chelsea. They won the game, first and foremost.
Yeah, definitely, yeah,
Diego Costa opened his account.
Yeah.
Pedro, I mean...
Goal and an assist, a superb debut.
Yeah, I mean, Pedro is a wonderful player, we've all known that, and it's great to see him in England, quite frankly. And it's crazy to think a player like that has been sitting on the bench for Barcelona for so long, and then you remember the front three they have and you think, oh, yeah.
front threes they've had as well.
Yeah, that's Pedro, right.
Pedro 24 or 26 trophies he's won?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. He sits on that bench probably, even as good a player as he is, and he looks at the team and he thinks, at Barcelona, and he thinks there's nothing for me.
Well, he said he didn't want to leave. He said, I love this club, didn't want to leave, but he said, I want to play football.
Mm.
And it's not a bad move to a title like Chelsea, for crying out loud. But the league will be all the better for having him. Aspilicueta with a sneaky one.
Yeah, he loved it.
I quite enjoyed that goal.
I love a fullback freaking out when they've scored.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one of those pure, unbridled moments of joy that you get in football.
There's a long passage of play before that goal as well, wasn't it?
There was, yeah. But it was just a delightful little finish.
Mm.
One that the keeper's rooted to the spot and just... just can't do anything about it. West Brom, though, I mean...
Rondon looked decent.
Rondon does look good. I mean, Berahino didn't play. Obviously, Pulis said that was because of the recent transfer speculation causing disruption in the young man's mind. But if he does go, which he may well do, I mean, that's not a bad replacement in Rondon. And you got Ricky Lambert off the bench.
Yeah. I mean,
all agreed.
Ideally, they'd want to keep hold of Berahino, though, because he's a very, very different player from Rondon. But then, I guess, the writing's been on the wall for a while, hasn't it?
Mm.
I think he'll almost certainly go to Spurs.
What do you think of the transfer window being open in the first few weeks of the season?
Isn't that the case because seasons start at different times throughout the world?
Well, I mean, that would be a decent suggestion.
But I mean, people always say, oh, it should close when the Premier League begins. But the Premier League isn't the only league in the world.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. I mean, Pulis was having a go at this, whereas Sam Allardyce said he actually quite liked it because you can start the season, if you get a few injuries, you can quickly nip in the market again.
But you should know what you've got and what you haven't got. Well, and, if someone gets injured, you should have cover for that anyway.
I just think it's tedious. It becomes tedious, doesn't it? I mean, it becomes almost
it's
like
a sideshow.
It overtakes the actual football, which for me is a bit tedious. I don't mind the occasional bit of chat.
Just as well.
A load of the thing is, it's almost eating itself now. Back in the day, it used to be people would be interested in transfer rumours because you want to see your club sign a player and stuff.
It's doing the club line. You're doing the Newcastle United club line.
Oh, the club
line. 42 pence a minute for that kind of jazz.
But isn't there land just like a whole industry of people just making things up?
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, ITKs.
But that's coincided with this horrible, clickbait, linkbait marketing style that we're seeing everywhere. So like,
that we've refused to capitalise on because we're not sure how it works.
But the big question would be is, should we get club lines back, Pete?
I think so. I'd man one. I'd man the Hartlepool one.
That'd be amazing.
My God. Over 18s only.
Yep. Yeah. Everton lost at home to Manchester City. Last year's runners-up, they looked their binnest.
I didn't see that really game, but I listened to it on the radio.
Oh, they look good, Manchester City. 3 wins out of 3, 8 goals scored. None conceded.
Oh, Nasri's goal's worth a porno break for me. Oh. Goodness me.
Easy to forget, though, that City were pretty much neck and neck with Chelsea around New Year's Eve last year. Yeah, and they dropped off badly. It doesn't necessarily mean... I mean, lots of people are now talking about City leading from start to finish as Chelsea did last season. I think it's a bit premature for that.
I hope there's more to it than that. They're an Aguero, 2 seasons in a row like that would be really dull.
They're an Aguero injury away from it not being indeed. Like that, I think.
I don't know. Bonnie on the bench?
Yeah, but he can't lead the line for a season.
Well, you just said an injury. I didn't think you meant the whole season.
You don't know what I'm planning.
I just can't believe they haven't changed managers. They seem to be every year, Manchester City seem to have a new manager. Like, it's the same guy.
It's the 5-year plan, isn't it? Yeah. Is it five trophies in 5 years? Doesn't have to win them all at once or whatever it
was. Yeah, that was what
they
were
come up with. Season.
But
I'm glad they've stuck with him.
Of all the predictions I make, some stupid, some serious, I genuinely was confident in the Pellegrini losing his job to someone. But it just seemed like he was never in any doubt, and he signed a new contract, and everyone's happy with that.
It would have been a poor decision to get rid of him, I think.
You think, okay.
Unless you had Guardiola.
Yeah, it depends if they got lined up. I think it's probably, knowing what Man City are like, I mean, they're relatively ruthless in that sort of area. I think I don't want to do a disservice to Pellegrini because he started the season well, but I think it might be a case of the people they couldn't get available rather than them wanting Pellegrini.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to just bring
in. Well, no, it's hard to say, isn't it? But it seems to be the accepted wisdom is they really want Guardiola and they're just going to wait until he's available.
But they've got a decent man at the helm at the moment. But they look great, Manchester City, so far this season. And as you say, Pete, that Nasri goal, the little flick pass from Yaya Toure was gorgeous. I mean, I know the Everton defence at times were a little bit ropey in the match, but they're coming up against, to be perfectly honest with you, one of the best attacking lineups, or one of the best sort of front four or whatever, you could argue, in Europe at the moment. I mean, Navas and Sterling either side of David Silva, who's been brought into the middle, looks very healthy indeed. I mean, Silva was just... He's just a delicious player.
It's like playing against a ghost when you're...
It's just a wonderful footballer.
It's just... You don't really hear him praised that often because he's so consistent. It almost seems to go without saying that he's had a brilliant game.
He just consistently takes up positions where he's got loads of space.
Yeah, you look at the heat map and all those kind of things, and he's just all over the show. And someone, again, Sam Allardyce, who's been getting a big old mention in this show, and damn it all, it'll continue. he said that he would sacrifice a man to put him on David Silva. And to be fair to Jamie Redknapp, he said, well, actually, if you do that, then your man will get dragged all over the shop. And actually, how do you play against him? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
His conversion rate of shots to goals is really, really high as well, because he judges so well when to release the ball, be that in a pass or a shot. And he's a fascinating.
But when he's got, though, two very, very pacey wingers either side of him, Navas and Sterling now as well, it just unlocks. And it's... I'd quite like to see Arsenal have a go with that. If they can get Ozil on the ball, maybe have Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott or something like that. You know, it's so handy having that ball slipped in between centre-back and full-back. And then Kolarov was getting forward. I mean, he's a great player to get involved in the attack anyway. Took his goal well, although Tim Howard would be a little
Tim
bit disappointed.
Tim Howard's got to be asking questions of himself there.
But the back line for City is highlighted on Match of the Day, looked superb. Company looks imperious again. He looks like that defender you just think.
It's like they've got their hunger back.
Yeah, and they're confident.
But Mangala looks a player now. Last season he was a little bit...
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because Otamendi's come in.
He's thought, bloody hell, I've got to pull my socks up.
Yeah, and he has, and how. And maybe it was taking him that first season to adjust, but he seems to have done it. I mean, again, it's early days.
Yeah, what I would say, though, is talking about Man City a lot, that Everton actually look very good going forward as well with Barkley and Lukaku. And another day might have scored, actually. And I think Everton are going to cause team problems at, going forward.
Well, they were devastating against Southampton.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
on the counter. And
they
stuff
they
like
really
that.
Do look good going forward. But again, as highlighted on Match of the Day, particularly the back four needs a bit sorting out. And Martinez has often done this, hasn't he?
They've signed a defender from River Plate, haven't they? He was in the stands at Goodison,
right? And they've got to keep hold of
centre back. Yeah,
they've got to keep hold of Stones.
Yeah, well, it's
they're digging in really hard on that.
They are. Well, him and Jagielka could form a great partnership.
It's difficult to predict, because if you read certain newspapers, apparently Stones wants to go, and you read other ones, he doesn't want to go. So it's a really weird one.
Who knows? But
I mean, it's like they're making it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they've got nothing to offer. And we know all about that.
Hey, Newcastle United, they got something to offer, Peter.
Yeah,
really little point.
Last gasp defending.
Yeah. Hey.
I mean, this wasn't a measured defending performance. It was, you know, body on a grenade kind of situation, wasn't it? Shit!
Check yourself, pal. You've just had a clean sheet at Old Trafford. It was the last season.
It was a fantastic performance, particularly by Coloccini, who's been pretty middling in the first couple of matches.
No traffic announcements for him afterwards.
No. I enjoyed Mitrovic's performance, even though he sort of ghosted in and out of the match. I thought, I've not seen a striker with such presence when he's on the ball since probably Antoine Sibierski or something. Or Alan Shearer. Like, he just looked big and strong. He shrugged Rooney off the ball at one point, which is wonderful to see.
Hasn't been that hard for anyone this season. Yeah, he's not really woken up yet, has he? Really?
He didn't get booked.
No, madness.
Yeah,
he reminds me of Duncan Ferguson in many ways.
Oh dear!
But hopefully not through the massive amounts of injuries he's going to have for Newcastle.
I'll get on board with the Duncan Ferguson comparisons more than all the Alan Shearer comparisons.
I'm just saying that we've not had a big imposing striker, because we had like Martins and Owen and the Cissés. I mean, Denver Bauer was quite big, but he wasn't a strong player. He was you know, he was right place
no
at
Mark
right time.
Viduka.
I don't think, I mean, Mitrovic did show a little bit, I think. I don't think he's going to be judged on how he performs at Old Trafford. I mean,
exactly.
He was unlucky with
I would like to see him playing up with somebody else. I just hope that we don't use him as a target man and have no one else to, you know, to play him off. I'd quite like to see him in Perez double up in a 4-4-2.
Perez is an exciting player. I don't subscribe to the idea that Newcastle defended well against Man United.
Manchester United look very uninspiring at the moment. Mm. I know they created a few chances and you know, certainly Javier Hernandez probably should have scored, and there was a few other ones. Tim Krul did have a good game
There was a disallowed one as well, wasn't there?
But you know, Manchester United, I mean, they've really got to get going.
Well, I mean,
having spent a quarter of £1 billion?
Yeah, but it's still not Louis van Gaal's team yet.
Yes, of course.
Also, one of the really strange things is, yeah, they have spent an absolute fortune, but if you look at the players they've actually missed out on over the past couple of years as well, they don't seem to be able to attract their top targets. So, yeah, they're spending a lot of money, but it's in a quite makeshift way.
I think, yeah, there's a little bit of the scatter gun about it. Did you read that report?
It's a punt gun.
There was a report on one of the newspapers over the weekend that, obviously United are apparently in for Pedro. Mm. One of the newspapers reported that Pedro and his agent didn't even know Woodward was in Spain. Wow. I don't know if that's true.
Full of back page badinage, aren't you, today?
But that's happening.
You can be priapic.
That's happening a lot.
Can we make that a weekly thing? Back page badinage.
I'm versatile. But that's happened quite a lot of it with
Lucky sauces.
Indeed.
Hasn't it? Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's happened a lot with Woodward over the years.
Was Woodward the one who was hoodwinked for Ander Herrera before eventually get his man a year later? Not enough is made of that. People pretended to sell them a footballer. Yeah. Man United.
Yeah. He
met with just two Spanish blokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably met them again.
Yeah, that's right.
Pedro, we've all done that.
All right.
Giving them some money, come away with nothing. We've all done that in the back alley.
You're not taking the piss this time, lads. All right, okay. Why are we meeting in Bilbao? Because Barcelona are playing there. Okay. Must be legit.
Talk of them going for Neymar as well.
As if.
But that's the thing. But it's madness. Apparently, there's a long-term strategy for them to get Neymar. They're not going to get him now because obviously Barcelona can't replace him because they've got the transfer ban for a little while. But it just seems like
I'm pretty sure
team on FIFA.
I read today that Neymar signed a new contract at Barcelona. I'm thinking, so it's just a leveraging thing.
This is what United have become. They're just everyone else's leverage team.
Yeah,
it's so weird. He enjoyed it.
They're Newcastle United of 1993. They just sign anyone. John Hall's big pockets.
Yeah.
There's no the Neymar thing was sources. Say he's interested in a move to Old Trafford.
Did someone leave a Neymar Manchester United top in the back of a car?
Must have done.
Yeah. In the car park.
Must have done. And they said, they're trying to sign him. People are going, well, he'll never go this summer. This summer or the next.
Yeah.
Just go away.
Yeah.
That's not news. So, marvellous stuff. Shall we move on to the Premier League?
We're on the Premier League already.
I mean, the Championship, sorry. Yeah.
The Premier League of...
Which is the Premier League of my eyes, guys. the Premier League of entertainment. What about old Mick McCarthy's Ipswich? Fly on.
Mick switch.
good, Jim.
Yeah, no, top.
I'll decide. you have your opinions and I have mine.
If Mick McCarthy went and moved from Ipswich to, say, Huddersfield as manager, they could go for the headline, Mick Switch Town.
Tough.
That's fine.
To be fair, Pete, what have you got? Your opinion's more reliable.
Tough Muddersfield.
Tough Muddersfield? That doesn't even make any sense.
Because he's a tough McCarthy.
I'll tell you something now. McCarthy's you did well. Tough. Last week with Blow John was very good.
No, it wasn't. I'll do that one down as well.
It was better than that.
You're better than that.
Yeah.
Move on.
So, Ipswich and Brighton both going well. They're top. Nice Middlesbrough among the favourites for Prime. They're a bit 1-0 at home. By Bristol City.
Yeah, Middlesbrough do that sometimes. They were beat
every three games.
Yeah, they lose at home to like otherwise non-entity teams. They lost at home to Leeds, Reading, and Sheffield Wednesday last year, and none of those teams did anything in the league at all. The Championship is a bit funny like that, though, isn't it?
And Sheffield Wednesday are a bit funny like that. They were the kingmakers, weren't they?
The Steve Cottrell factor.
But hold on,
is it?
They won the game, did they not?
Steve Cottrell doesn't rate any player. He's obviously good.
Well, it's 1-0 away at Middlesbrough.
I'm not
mate.
Giving him any credit for anything.
1-0 away to Middlesbrough.
At home, the Middlesbrough team have to deal with, like, because sometimes the wind blows the chemical plant juices over the old cell net.
What a northern club.
You don't know where the wind's going to blow. Yeah. Sometimes Newcastle United sometimes Hartlepool, my hometown, smells of Stately, which is the power station just near Hartlepool.
What's the smell like? Can you describe the smell?
Oh, it's metallic and like your fingers buzz. Yeah. It's lovely.
Wow.
And sometimes it's the hops from the brewery.
Preferably,
do you know what? Depending on which way the wind blows.
Hops is very, up in Edinburgh you can sometimes get that.
Yeah, on the meadows. Reeks of hops.
Reeks.
Old reeky.
Yeah. Beer or radioactive material.
Yeah,
either or.
Exactly.
The Hartlepool story.
That's Middlesbrough.
Two for one on a Friday night.
A mensch for Marco Matthijs' goal for Sheffield Wednesday.
Fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. Blimey.
Outrageous.
The way he started that move was mad, because he circled the defender to get in front of him, then pulled it back as if to go, I'm not scoring from that close.
Pete, was that the best goal in the last 25
that
years
was
of English
the best
football?
Goal I've ever seen with these retinas.
It was one of those goals where even there was that little pause between the goal going in and the fans going, oh my God, that actually has happened, and then just losing their minds.
I really noticed when he was celebrating as well, one of the stewards realised he was behind the barriers rather than in front of it, so he just sort of leapt over it because he knew he'd be on the camera. He went, oh God, I'm going to get in loads of trouble here. Everyone's watching him.
That's a verbal warning.
Before we move on from the Championship, a little mention to the Cardiff fan who tried to head the ball.
Yeah, brilliant.
Lovely bit of shuffling along, and then he just stacks it at the important part.
Like, clip his shins on the row of
He went to head the ball and he missed... Judged it completely.
That's a crushed nigger.
Did he fall down a row, or he fell over the season?
No, he just stumbled a little bit.
He didn't look like an athlete.
But he laughed it off, didn't he? To be fair to him,
ooh, you have to, Jim.
Yes, you do.
You have to. He was already thinking about the Vines, not the band. GIFs and that.
Jesus.
Let's go to League Two.
I haven't seen Grandad Marcus for a little while.
Well, the tone I put, Peter, suggested it was sarcastic.
We're on about WebEms now.
No
up
need
yours.
For the blasphemy.
Marcus calls GIFs, GIFs.
No, that's actually how you're supposed to pronounce
them. Oh, the other way around.
Oh, God.
The other way around, then.
Who am I with? You fucking Luddites. Excuse my language.
Just because you are part internet, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
Now then.
Part dark internet.
Now then.
Have you got your latest patch?
Right, that's it. We're going to a break.
I'm being quiet.
We're going to a break.
Good. While Pete upgrades himself to the latest version.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a second.
Hi, I'm Robbie Earl, and this is the Football Ramble.
Oh, Robbie Earl, do us a ticket to a World Cup game.
Oh, well, what about League Two, eh? Leighton Orient, they've won 4 out of 4. Flying high! Flying high. Teddy Sheringham, he picked up his first win as Stevenage Borough manager.
Time for a special Are Pompey Still Undefeated update.
Well, I was going to say that Stevenage Borough, they stopped Hartlepool's 100%. Hartlepool are fifth.
Hartlepool have won like 3 out of 4 matches and they're still only fifth. That's mad, isn't it?
Isn't it weird?
It's a big old league.
But who are sixth? Just one Portsmouth. Place and Portsmouth. One point behind them.
Mm. It's 100 teams in that league, Pete. Pompey are going to avoid defeat to all of them. To be fair to Portsmouth, they're 3-0 down. They drew 3-all. Yeah. 95th minute.
And they were down to 10 men.
Indeed.
When it was 3-2.
The Dubai of the South.
In a way. Right then, let's go to
Spain.
Let's go to Spain. Eh? Right after we've gone to Scotland.
Oh, here we go.
Easy.
Just go make yourself a cup of tea.
Oh, magic, you know, five in a row. Mate, look at that, boys. It's time to believe. Hearts 3, Partick's Thistle nils. It's wonderful stuff. I mean, it's routine. They've got the winning mentality.
I don't understand why a Liverpool fan cares so much about Hearts, do you guys?
Oh, no. Liverpool this week,
it's
is
weird,
it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was Man United.
I'll tell you what, Jim. If Arsenal had a third of Hart's winning mentality, you'd be much better off. Much better
third
off.
A third of a Hart.
But if had a third of the players, they'd be relegated. Yeah.
if we had a jealous boys.
The defending for those goals. We all saw him.
Make it look bad.
Bloody dreadful.
Juanma looks a decent player, though, doesn't he?
You can only.
He looks like he's going to absolutely dominate.
Who's that?
In the SPL, Juanma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can only thrash what's put in front of you.
Marcus, can you spare a quick thought and a word for the Dandy Dons?
I can do. Yeah, four out of four. They're right in there. Right in there.
Don't Aberdeen. Write them off.
No, certainly not. And it's obviously Celtic there or thereabouts as well. Right, are we ready to go to La Liga?
Yes.
Yes. Messi missed a penalty. He's proved that he's human after all. What was the 14th penalty miss of his career?
Which
calm
is
down.
Loads, isn't
I mean,
it?
That is a lot.
Loads.
Yeah. Mm.
He's
a lot.
Rubbish.
He's taken 63.
Overrated.
22% failure. So, on average, he misses about 1 in 5.
Yeah. That's not great.
Take him
not
off. Great. Taking him off.
I'd say so. Suarez got the winner. It was a very satisfying one.
Yeah.
When you watched that, I thought, yeah.
What, I mean,
that's how you do it.
In acres of space.
Did you hear the Ray Hudson commentary?
No.
The man who blights our game like a cloud.
Well, yeah. People in glass houses.
Porno breaks. Yeah.
He said, oh, he dropped his pint of beer into a thimble.
What?
Can you explain to me what the frickin' heck that means?
What, if it was Suarez?
Yeah.
Suarez was, what, 80 yards out with a goal at his mercy?
Yeah.
And he smashed it into a pretty much open net.
But I don't say he dropped his pint into a thimble.
Well, very precise.
Yeah, it wouldn't even fit.
Bigger.
Yeah,
it doesn't work. Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to defend the man. It's a load of nonsense.
I've got no beef with Ray Hudson. I think he's occasionally very
attentive. You mean you've got no dog?
Mm. No dog with him.
Yeah.
But you just know he's got pre-written lines and pre-written routines that he has to squeeze in, shoe on in somehow.
People in glass houses.
Can't write this nonsense.
Hudson, I wouldn't want to.
Hudson's co-commentator.
Just cross out Alfinger Haaland there.
Hudson also did the Atletico Madrid game, and his US co-commentator kept calling Griezmann literally Griezmann.
Saying, the Griezmann.
Griezmann.
Damn right he did.
That's
the goal.
That's what it means in England. Didn't go.
Griezmann's brilliant. They've done well to keep hold of him.
They have.
Well, presuming that they do, because there's still time.
Yeah, there's still like 3 months left
before
in the
Jim White closes it.
Well, every club in England is obsessed with those types of players, so I wouldn't be surprised to be moved.
Mm. Real Madrid, they drew 0-0. Are you worried about Rafa? Are you worried about Rafa Benitez?
There was a great...
No,
not really. He can look after himself.
Yeah, he's a grown man.
Yeah, there was a... I'm going to let myself down there because I can't actually remember the player involved, but there was a fringe player at Real Madrid, a good player, and I forget his name, so it's irrelevant. He did an amazing quote on an ESPN article I saw, which basically said, oh, Rafa Benitez is one of the best managers in the world, and I'm really looking forward to him managing me, and I can't wait to work under him and all this other stuff. Basically just saying, please pick me in the team, because I can't get a game.
I remember.
It was
I
so transparent. It was honestly absolutely shameless.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I wouldn't be surprised if he printed that story out and hand-delivered it to Rafa Benitez's house.
Serie A's back.
It is.
And Udinese.
Juventus lost on the open day of the season at home.
The first home loss in the league for 48 matches. Incredible. But the best thing about it was, I thought he'd retired. Antonio Di Natale's still playing.
He's unretirable.
Indeed he is. He said 2 years ago that was it. Mm. Then he stayed on last season and he scored something like 16 league goals. And then he's staying on again. I think if he scores double figures this season, I think he'd be the first player in Serie A history perhaps to score double figures in 10 consecutive seasons.
Wow.
Which is some feat. I mean,
and achievable for Tony Christmas.
I'm suddenly become very uncomfortable.
I was
thinking
impressed.
Of Totti and all.
I was impressed.
But it would, you know, obviously very few certainly do.
And Italy as a nation, as a footballing nation, they absolutely love a swan song for an old striker in a major tournament.
Luca Toni.
Yeah.
Well, get him back in.
Roberto Baggio played for a long time as well. They do love it.
Toni was joint top scorer at 38. Toni and Natale up front for the Euros.
Get him in there.
Absolutely.
Creaking.
Yes. All the way to the final.
Toni squared.
But incredible that Juve lost the first home league match in 48. Remarkable happenings in Turin. Yes. Let's leave Europe now and go to Major League Soccer. LA Galaxy 5, New York City 1.
How is Andrea Pirlo still getting away with a good reputation? He was like swanning around. Like, it was an embarrassment.
Yeah. He took a couple of good corners.
He was a full-time corner taker. That's basically all he did.
Yeah. I can imagine American sports have like specialist positions. Yeah. It's like, I like the look of that.
I can imagine someone getting into football for the first time in the US because New York City is a new team, going to watch and honestly thinking that Andrea Pirlo's job is to take corners.
he put one in and McNamara should have scored, and then it would have been 1-1. It might have been a different game, but it certainly wasn't.
One of the Galaxy goals. Someone did like a quick 1-2 in the middle of the park, and Pirlo, like, it was like watching a Sunday league midfielder who was a bit hungover, just like watching him go past and then saying, holding the hand up, saying sorry, but obviously he didn't say sorry because
it's more like, nah, I'm on holiday.
I'd be a little bit concerned if I was an NYC fan, because Pirlo, you see, the difference is Gerrard was a bit part player for Liverpool last season, and he knew that his time was coming to an end there, so he was kind of winding down. Yeah. Lampard hasn't really played much. He sat that out because he wasn't fit. But he, again, was a bit part player at City, so again was kind of preparing himself for the next stage.
Fresh.
Pirlo, he was a whisker away from winning the treble for Juventus and played pretty much... Well, I don't know if he started... I think he started most games for Juventus that season. So for suddenly going from that into MLS... Is he kind of looking around thinking, I'm not sure if I fancy this?
And also, the type of character Stephen Gerrard
he's played for a Sunday team and
he was box to box as well. It's not like that was never Pirlo's thing.
No, it wasn't.
Do you think Pirlo's legs have just gone at a very unfortunate time?
Well, I don't know. I think Pirlo is the type of player he needs good players around him.
Yeah, but even if his legs have gone, I don't think it's an excuse for... I mean, no disrespect to MLS, I don't think even if his legs... A legless Pirlo with application and hard work in training would still be good enough. He would. Mm.
If he's legless, was he missing not being managed by a leg, Bree? Thank you. Wow. What about David Villa? He's getting a little bit annoyed. He said, I need...
Goals, there you go, Villa's another player who works really hard and always will do. And so it must be very frustrating for him.
Well, he said, I need teammates at my side that can help me. I can't do it alone.
Mm. Well, right. I mean, 15 well, we can see goals that. For him in MLS this season. It's really, really impressive stuff. But, that tells its own story, doesn't it? That he's effectively carrying them.
Yeah, well, you can see he can't do it on his own because they've just been beaten 5-1.
And he got the goal.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is there's so much pressure on Villa... with Lampard there and not playing much because he's been injured or for whatever fitness reasons, and Pirlo just looking again like he's on holiday, it's ridiculous. There's so a real lack of stability there if you've got these big marquee players suddenly coming in and disrupting everything.
That's right.
So Villa's obviously there in his rhythm, but this is it's actually just a terrible time to add some players to your team. The LA Galaxy look a force though. They look absolutely superb, and I love how Robbie Keane is the main man.
He loves a dink,
Still scoring for him. Scores a fair few dinks,
which is what we would like to see. Before we go to highlights of the week, we've got to go to Nigeria. Huge news coming out of Nigeria. Now, if Juventus's home loss after 48 league games was a surprise, get on this, ladies and gentlemen. In the Nigerian Premier League, Kano Pillars lost 2-1 at home to Nasarawa United. This is Pillar's first home loss in 12 years.
Oh, my goodness.
They haven't lost a game at home since June 2003, going 202 matches unbeaten. That's sensational, isn't it?
Day of mourning in that town.
Well, is it, though? Because I loved what the official Twitter feed of Pillar said. If anything, we should celebrate today for the record.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And I thought, absolutely, get a positive out there.
Better to have loved and lost.
Than to have never loved at all.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
12 years.
Amazing effort, yeah.
And now we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Well, that was my highlight of the week.
Was that right?
Yeah. No, I'm only joking.
Oh, hey.
I've got some more here for you guys.
Good man.
I want to start off on a fairly strong note, I think.
Yeah.
John Curl at Curly360 got in touch saying, I play football with rap intro genius Peter Stone's dad, Steve.
Oh, wow.
It's his 40th season for Leighton County Old Boys.
Wow. And that is incredible.
And he's rather ominously put, #pray for Steve.
Oh, dear.
So I don't know if you know, can't we don't. But well done to Peter Stone, who's the official rap artist of the Rambles' dad.
Mm.
40 seasons in a row for Leighton County Old Boys. It's not bad.
That's incredible.
It's not bad. Richard Wilshaw, I think he might be a regular contributor. He says, I got my hair cut next to Roy Keane recently.
Oh, terrifying.
He said, unsurprisingly, customer hairdresser chit-chat was kept to a minimum.
You really want to see Keane's hands. You don't want the hands under a smock, do you?
No,
you don't know what he's preparing.
I'm surprised Keane doesn't cut his own hair.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Roy Keane does that thing where he's shuffling around on the thing and you think he's doing something naughty, but he's actually just polishing his glasses? Pete, we've got one directly for you here.
Oh, good.
From Dan Kemp. This is your specialist subject. He said, I was listening to the episode Boo Hiss from December 14th, where you speak about zookeepers and Pete being working at a zoo. He said, being one myself, can I be the official zookeeper of the Ramble?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, well, hang on a minute, it's not finished. You've jumped in there. You've shown your hand. He says, number one, I'll be on call for any zoo-based information.
Okay, yeah.
Right. I don't want him to sort of impinge
on
your territory.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a little bit. I mean, it's mainly about gibbons.
Okay. He says, number two, free zoo tour for any ramblers. # come see the tigers.
Right.
And he said, I'll start off my role. He's assumed that he's got the job. So right. He started off with his first piece of advice.
He's applying, isn't he?
Yeah, he's getting in there. He says, first piece of zoo advice is to Pete Donaldson, Chewits are not part of a recommended elephant diet, Pete.
Oh, that's what that tweet was about. I was very confused. I thought it was just a silly man throwing
Chewits. No, apparently you talked about that before.
Did I?
Yeah, apparently elephants prefer mints.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
But thanks for that, Dan.
I mean, if you do want to apply for a job at the Ramble and, you know, make up what that job is,
we should build up a whole army. They should have to prove the job they actually do. We should build up a whole army.
Yeah. We could have the big society going on right there.
We could.
Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, the Ramble.
Cameron's dream.
Now then.
I've got a nice little one here on Facebook. First one from Benjamin Brunton. It's my birthday today. What better way to celebrate it while listening to a new Ramble, # best birthday ever. Then Philip Leeworthy's come in saying, this is just a shameless attempt to get your name read out and I hope it's ignored. It's not my birthday until January and the Ramble will also be a welcome addition to my day. My surname is pronounced Leeworthy when you read it out.
Well done, everyone.
I'll finish off with these two. This one from Sam Pocock. I was at Carlisle Wimbledon and I heard a random fan correctly shout, fuck off, referee, you're ruining a shite game here. And I just want to finish off with this because before I move on to the corrections and clarification section.
Yeah, it's good to have that back.
I was wondering whether that was going to rear its head.
I went to go watch a Sunday League game on Sunday morning. It was really entertaining. It was just in the field over the back of my parents' house. And so I just put a tweet out saying, has anyone got any Sunday League stories from this weekend? And James Cox has been in touch.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Coxie.
Friend of the Ramble. Former Ramble midfield player, he said, I scored this weekend, we got to the cup final and celebrated with mojitos. That's how we do Saturday football over here in the New Zealand League. It's more than I ever got playing for the Ramble team. Bit of a dig.
That's not true, we took him for drinks.
We always, looked after him fairly well. I thought he
even got a packet of crisps for the cheeky bugger.
Did he? Well, he's kept that quiet. He's hid that light under a bushel.
Damn right.
The correction and clarification section needs to be...
jeez.
A welcome return.
To be fair, it's been a while.
Jack Warner moment.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm agreeing with Luke here. It has been a while.
That we admitted to get something wrong?
It's been a while.
That we've noticed.
Yeah. It's been a while since we admitted to a mistake.
Yeah, and this is a stinker.
That we've knowingly made a mistake.
I'll caveat this by saying that I was sent this article... in a copy and paste format.
In good. Right? In good.
I didn't
copy.
See that the author was Hugh Dunnett.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
And the story about the blind team and the Morris dancers was, of course, a Jack Warner-esque... I don't really think it's very good satire.
It's a satirical website. You go on it and you go, really isn't. Are you satirising? Blind people? You can't do that.
Yeah.
But when you said this, I immediately said I thought that was bollocks.
I think the biggest crime is that I've poo-pooed you when you've called me up on it, and I'd like to apologise to you personally.
Don't worry, I have a lot of forgiveness to dish out.
I have. I know you have.
Otherwise, I couldn't possibly really be a part of this.
that story wasn't true, but it was very entertaining. And in my defence, you guys, presumably listening, got a good laugh out of it, and that's all I live to serve.
Well, redeem yourself by giving us a website roundup.
I will, from the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, on the gloriously festooned Football Ramble website this week, Richard Keys gives us a guided tour of his five-bedroom bastard house in Doha. Brilliant, that is.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, that is class.
She says...
Ooh.
I was still thinking about Richard Keys. She says, an investigation into the relative merits of watching football with an unwilling relative. That's very funny.
That was wonderful. With their mum.
Game with their mum, yeah. What John Terry thinks of Mark Clattenburg's new hairdo.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the now world-famous weekend highlights. So you can find Kelly on @Kelly_Wells, and it's Wells with an E.
There we are. Any more for any more?
I quite like Jermaine Defoe's PA request.
Yeah, that was funny.
Who had to sort of run... being his PA, you have to run his global operations and also make sure his fridge is stocked.
A
which
very
is
involved job.
Very
job
big.
Job description like, never
to,
ended.
Yeah, but didn't you have to like effectively found a clothing empire? It's not like help with it. You have to do
and
it.
You also had to plan Mother's Day, Father's Day and Black History Month.
Oh my
it's just really confusing.
They've
got someone to do that.
One of them as well.
Bonfire.
You have to sort out the bonfire for bonfire night.
You've got to do everything that doesn't involve the 90 minutes on the pitch on Saturday. And that's open to negotiation.
If you can find a way, it's a couple of grand.
Mm. And as Pete said, it's rarely 90 minutes.
That's right. And it's like when Stephen Island fairly recently advertised for a chef. I'm enjoying
it. John Joe Shelvey.
John Joe Shelvey, the man who's created the most goal scoring opportunities so far this season, according to Opta Joe.
I mean, that doesn't mean he hasn't advertised for a chef in quite public way.
No, I'm just saying, get him in the squad.
Squad's been announced soon.
Did you see the did that thing that happened in Uruguay, a team called Juventad, where time wasting, so a player pretended to have cramp, so they had to bring the stretcher on, and then he threw himself off of it just to waste like another 10 seconds.
Did he get booked?
No, of course he didn't.
Oh, they'll all be doing it if they don't get booked. You've got to make an example of something like that.
Got to make an example. Right, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. The website, of course, is thefootballramble.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Go to audible.co.uk/footballramble for a free Audible book. You remember the
code
drill.
You remember the jizz.
I wasn't going to say that.
Sounded like you were.
Stop your porno chat.
Never.
And start it again now.
Yeah. Rock and Roll Football's back on Absolute Radio, if you don't mind.
I don't.
Yeah, we'll cover a Manfield. John Champion brings you West Ham's trip to Liverpool.
Right, there we go. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye,
Jim. Say goodbye, Luke. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. Goodbye,
I did, yeah. Goodbye, Luke.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.